Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Well, here we are in three separate TMO shipping containers in isolation. Which it's the responsible and the right thing to do, safety first. But we are not going to stop doing a podcast for you. This is the first of two podcasts, in fact. So let me cross to TMO shipping container number one in mighty Chorlton. JB, how are you doing?
I'm very well. Now, throughout our time doing Egg Chasers, we have made a little bit of money doing these podcasts, and people laughed at us. They laughed at us for spending it all on triple redundancy shipping containers, because we knew one day we'd need all three of them.
And now to the suburbs, or as JB calls it, give upville, when a garage matters more to you than bars and restaurants. Mind you, they're all shut. They're all shut now. I'd take a home gym over loads of bars and restaurants nearby. Phil Largan.
Hello. Hello, Tim. Hello, JB.
Hello, mate.
And more importantly, how are both of your wives at the minute? Both on the front line there, anaesthetists who are going to be keeping us all safe and well. How are they doing?
So far, so good, actually. There seems to be that much going on at the moment. It sounds ridiculous, but in terms of patients, I don't think the tidal wave has hit yet.
Yeah, that's exactly right in terms of patients.
In terms of planning, it's difficult.
Yeah, the planning. God, because the hospitals just aren't set up. They've never considered this kind of scenario when everything's set up. So Claire this week has been looking at splitting the maternity ward into two and putting up new theatres and new ventilators and new everything, massively increasing the capacity. So that there's a huge, huge amount of planning going into keeping everyone fit and well, or as well as they possibly can be.
Really interesting story yesterday from, I think, one of the consultants in Bolton. They were playing around with ventilators, seeing if they can ventilate two people from one ventilator, and they just didn't have the valves available. So obviously they nipped over to Screwfix, told them the valves that they needed, and Screwfix could not be more helpful. So I mean, that's not what they're planning to do, but in the event that they need to split a ventilator between two people, it's nice to know that they've thought that through, and that Screwfix came through.
And there's some other incredible stories of innovation for PPE and other things that some Claire's told me. So really, really incredibly impressed in very difficult circumstances already, and it's only going to get more difficult.
Well, it's not going to be as difficult as recording a podcast from three different locations, is it? So whatever they're going through.
We've got each one of these shipping containers was £1 million. We have the best technology available to us.
We'll be fine. All to mitigate the tax bill.
Rightly so. Okay, so here we go. This particular podcast is going to be sort of general. There's still, amazingly, with no rugby whatsoever, there's still plenty to talk about in the world of rugby. So we're going to dig into that one. We did also, on the last podcast, set some homework, which was to watch the World Cup quarterfinal from 1999 between New Zealand and France, the amazing game at Twickenham, one of the greatest games ever. And we're gonna break that one down in another podcast. So the message is, hit subscribe in that feed, download them all, tell your mates. And we're at Rugby Podcast in the Cesspit on Twitter. We are, he's at Jay Beardmore, I'm at Cocker. Phil is lurking, he'll let you know when he wants you to hear from him. But let's get into it then. So the RFU this week have suspended the rest of the season in all leagues from the Championship down. And they've said they'll work out what's going to happen next.
Mm. Yeah. So big news from that, the big upshot is Didsbury Tog H finished second in the league. because in the leagues just basically, well, they just basically froze, didn't they? So we were 1 point ahead of Liverpool St. Helens. With having one game in hand. So they would definitely have overtaken us if they'd have won all their games. And they're a good team, so you would expect them to do that. But yeah, really weird end of season. You know, you kind of end up in a position that you, in our case, maybe we didn't quite deserve it. We certainly didn't earn it. But yeah, it just freezes as it is. So we're second, which is weird.
And in the Championship, so Newcastle are 18 points clear, but Ealing Trailfinders are said to be readying the legal action in the event that the Falcons are handed automatic promotion, because Ealing say, well, we've got a game in hand and we still have to play Newcastle. So the gap at the moment does not reflect where it could be. Premier League football say that they need, at all costs, they need to preserve the integrity of the competition. Should rugby go the same route? What should the solution be here?
Now, in the Championship, so Newcastle have also put out a statement, haven't they, fairly recently, basically highlighting that Newcastle haven't lost a game. Indeed, they played Ealing away and got a bonus point win in a game which Ealing got nothing out of. Ealing have lost one other and drawn one other. So while it is 18 points, albeit Ealing have got a game in hand, I think the very strong contention from Newcastle is that the season is pretty much done. And certainly that's what they'll be pushing for
yeah,
them,
I mean,
to have
promotion. The Premier League football season is pretty much done.
It is.
basically, the Premier League is saying, no, the integrity of the sport is important. Unless you actually win it, you don't win it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the World Cup. And in particular, it reminds me of Scotland floating the idea of legal action because of the 0-0 draw. Now, in that case, the situation was Scotland were like absolute idiots, because with everything going on, it really is only just sport. And I think, 13 or 16 people died during the typhoons in Japan. Well, this case is substantially more difficult. It's bigger. It's obviously much more impactful on the entirety of the UK. I just think Ealing, I mean, I don't know if this is official. Have the club said this?
So the DOR has muted the idea that they could look at this, depending on what the outcome is. They've definitely not officially done anything.
We know Saracens are coming down. We know we can't play that league with an extra team and leave the Premiership without a team. Saracens have to come down, which is really unusual, actually, now I'm thinking it through. So I guess you'd just keep the league intact and keep Newcastle down. But I think the bigger story here...
Well, just can we be clear on this? Because I'm still a little bit unsure. Yes, I think you're right in saying Saracens have to come down, but... Again, they haven't been handed relegation. They've been handed effective relegation. I haven't seen it written anywhere. Oh.
No, you've got three different punishments for Saracens, right? So, sorry, just give me two seconds. Oh, sorry. No, that's better. I'm just finishing off the Haagen-Dazs.
You want a beanbag?
Yeah, why?
I thought I could hear it. It just sounds like it. You got a beanbag. It was just an unmistakable sound.
The unmistakable sound of a beanbag. Wow. So, okay, so there's three different punishments for Saracens. One is the punishment they were initially handed, the 35 points. The problem with the 35 points is they might have recovered from it. So then they got hit with automatic relegation, which is a separate thing for the current season not being able to get underneath the salary cap, and therefore not showing the Premiership their books. So that's automatic relegation. Then they got a third thing, which was a further 77 points.
70, and I just think
the 17 points was to ensure, A, they got punished again, but more likely it was there to avoid any legal complications of them finishing above Leicester Tigers or whoever else it would be, because the rules state in the Premiership that the bottom team finishes last. So you could have Saracens relegated and yet still a bottom team. So that's why that is as it is. Of course, that then does throw up a bit of a problem, because timing is a problem here, which is Saracens have to go down. If it's a normal year, you could keep the Premiership as it was, and then you could you know, just replay the Championship next year. But the Premiership can't be one team down, so Newcastle have to come up. In my opinion, England should just, you know, it's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. But there are big, there are bigger forces in involved here. And Ealing, as it stands, deserves to go up. I admire everything that they've done, but they need to see the bigger picture, shut up, and get on with it.
Yeah, I do kind of agree with that.
What would you be saying if Newcastle were 4 points ahead?
Same, really.
What would you be saying if it was equal points?
Yeah, that's where it gets messy. Like,
what if Newcastle were 1 point ahead, but Ealing had a game in hand?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really difficult. They'd feel as aggrieved as Liverpool St Helens do right now. But it is what it is. You know, no one planned for this. It isn't. You know, it'd be an absolute scandal if Ealing, say, went up, but then they got refused permission because they made up some new rules around the ground, or there's a clear conspiracy. But this isn't that. This is a really unfortunate national. Was it unfolding into a national tragedy, and it's just not the same thing. Yeah. So that's where I am. I feel very sorry for England, but I feel more sorry for everyone with real problems. So that's where we are at.
Yeah, it's not as it is that it's not. No one who raises this question or talks about it or points out any nuance, I don't think you can say. But there's really bad stuff going on, so you can't have a discussion about it.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, they're not necessarily linked. I just think that it's a bad luck for Ealing, and they should just accept it. And they weren't going to go up anyway.
Yeah, and so, Jay, to take your point, I think that particularly given where Newcastle are and where Ealing are, I think this, if you just hand it to Newcastle right now, that is the best solution in this scenario. To take your point, if it was 1 point in it or no points in it, I think they'd have to look at another way of resolving it.
Like maybe a playoff or some such thing.
A playoff behind closed doors or something like that. A playoff. But the problem with the playoff is the timing of the playoff to allow recruitment for next season. Last thing Ealing want to do is win that playoff, but then be unable to recruit any new players. And
well, I guess the ideal situation... Well, we know what the ideal situation is, but the second least worst situation was keep everything as it is. But because of the punishments handed down to Saracens, you can't do that.
Yeah. But I think the way Ealing have got to address this is to say, look, they've learned a lot. Ealing, in the last few years, have come on massively as a club, and they're doing some very good things attracting and creating their own talent as well as bringing it in. And in another season or another couple of seasons, because they're probably not going to go up next season with Saracens down.
Yeah.
In another couple of seasons, they will be stronger and they will have an even better shot than now, which is probably too soon for them.
Yeah, there is a really good point as well, which is Premiership rugby takes time. I'm not going to say I've seen Ealing play. I know what part of their development that they're in. But if they're not running Newcastle close at home, they're probably not ready for Premiership rugby. It would be a waste of an awful lot of money to go to the Premiership and go straight back down. They've got it. Yeah. They would have had to have shown that they are ready. And actually, even Newcastle, who are quote unquote ready, will go up and will be favourites to come straight back down.
All right, yeah. I'm going to move the conversation along to the Premiership clubs who've, again, I don't know how many clubs have actually agreed to this. We know that Gloucester Wasps and Worcester have.
Sale have as well.
We don't know officially that, but, officially we know that Gloucester Wasps and Worcester, from April the 1st, the staff of, all staff, besides the lowest earning staff, will take 25%. Pay cut. Bristol and Saracens have also announced pay cuts, amounts unconfirmed, and other clubs are in talks currently.
Leicester have also done it as well.
I'm pretty sure it's across all clubs. I think it's a club agreement. I'm really sure it is.
I know other clubs. I'm only saying what I know to be true.
Yes, okay. What's been reported. It's not been reported as that yet, and it might be next week.
Yeah. I mean, it gives you an indication of the pressure that these clubs are under now. So yes, we spoke about it a tiny bit last week, how the finances work, which is you've got your match day, you've got your central revenue, and then you've got your ownership subsidy, for want of another word. And, you know, when things are going well, and you can take your mates to the rugby, and you're winning games and whatnot, as an owner, you might be, you know, you might be all right with spending that. When, however, something like this happens, and you know, you don't even know, I don't even know if their core businesses are safe, let alone their rugby businesses, it's a lot harder to then fund a wage bill of, you know, quote, 9 to 10 million. It's very, very difficult.
Is this being put down as diktat, or is this has to be voluntary, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I'll let Phil take over because he'll tell you a bit more about this, but I think we touched on it last week. It's got to be a decision by the players. The players are entitled to the money in their contracts, but yeah, by taking it, they might end up with no money.
Yeah, that's the position where I am, and I thought this move would be inevitable. I'm surprised at the speed that it's happened. So yeah, that's the real bit that has shocked me, just how quickly the players, the RPA, yeah, and the clubs have come to an agreement on this.
Yeah.
And actually, what this suggests to me is if the severity of the lockdown continues and the stop of revenue for rugby clubs, I wouldn't actually be surprised if we saw another reduction at some point.
Yeah.
Because it's all exactly as Jay's set out. It's all to do with income versus outgoings, revenue, yeah, compared to your expenses.
So in a way, and this sounds perverse, right? But rugby are in quite a good situation, as in rugby union, because none of the clubs are profitable. The owners are used to handing over cash. Rugby league, on the other hand, a lot of the clubs stand on their own 2 feet, and you think, well, that's great, surely. But again, that isn't great, because if you've got no rich owner backing you and then your matchday income disappears, you're in a lot of trouble.
Mm. Yeah, now, and you've got 5-year contracts for players.
Yeah. So, you know, people say, oh, it's not sustainable. Frankly, it might just be the fact that they do make a loss every year and they've got wealthy owners that are making this even at all possible. Wouldn't surprise me if you never see Rugby League, as in the Super League, ever again. And I hope I'm wrong. But if this continues, I don't see how it happens. Now, I also think, and I do not know this, but I also think that the clubs have acted in synchronicity here to cut the salaries across the board. The reason I think that is it'd be very difficult for Worcester or someone like that to say, look, we're cutting your salaries, and for the players to turn around and say, wait a second, they're not cutting up at Sale Sharks, or they're not cutting them at Leicester. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this is coordinated action, because it's the only way to save the league.
Well,
in
yeah,
the form.
In the yeah, same way that the salary cap
yes,
you know, has the effect of suppressing wages, or yeah, or if you let the salary cap go, inflating wages, but it puts a ceiling on it, so you're just lowering the ceiling.
Yeah,
that's
a really good, if they're all on board.
Yeah, that is a really good comparison, the salary cap, because the RPA is happy for the salary cap, even though it suppresses all wages, because it allows the league to be sustainable and all the players to be well looked after. This is the same. This is reducing players' salaries for the greater good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit more on that. We all know that the CVC deal reduced central income by 27%. Okay, so that's an actual thing.
Speculating to accumulate.
Let me just rephrase that. When the CVC deal came in, they got a lot of cash.
Yeah.
And those cash lump sums will be burning away quite nicely at the moment. But obviously, it was done because CVC, I mean, the experts at whatever it is, have decided that they can get more money for rugby when they go back out to market. And under normal market conditions, you'd say, absolutely fine. As it happens, not only has the 27% of income that CVC receives disappeared from Premiership rugby clubs, as it already has done, the broadcasters have also stopped paying. Which yeah, is, so now, not only is there no money from CVC, CVC aren't even getting their central revenue. So clubs are missing out from their matchday revenue and also all of their central revenue. So they've literally got one source of income coming in, and that is the owners. So you know, if you're listening to thinking, oh, it'll be all right, or you know, they've still got some money somewhere, it is very limited.
I presume that rugby clubs, just like any other business, if they were in the position where they were laying off staff, they can claim 75% of all wages up to $2,500 a month for every member of staff, players included.
Yeah, I think so. I would think so.
Yes, I would have thought so. Albeit $2,500 compared to a player's salary, well, compared to a lot of players' salaries, or certainly the highest paid players' salaries, is very limited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you're quite right, Tim.
It's interesting to watch. Again, I think it's if everyone's done it across the board, that's the only way this can work. Because
I think so.
Yeah.
As a sort of, I mean, not fairness. I don't want to say, you know, because actually it's fair that you receive the contract that you sign, but it'll certainly help sweeten the pill for a lot of players, knowing that they're all taking a 25% pay cut.
Yeah, you can hold out for your full 100%, but then you might be talking to a creditor and getting less than 75%.
I've just got a quick question. Why was there first, and this would be what I would do if I was one of the players, why was their first move not to say, we'll accept a 50% pay cut immediately, but only short term? You can pay us back when the team starts or on the signing of a new deal.
We don't know how the negotiations have gone. They might have gone round a whole circle of negotiation between the clubs and the players and the RPA to get.
That's what I would have started with.
And we don't know what the structure is. Yeah, we don't know what the structure. It could be that it's 75% reduction now, but will be repaid at some point in the future, because the salary cap for this year and all the maths for this year still works out, assuming it's 100%. But there is a massive cash flow issue. So theoretically, if the league starts and the revenues start running again, they can all get the 100% of the contract for this year, but they just can't take it right now.
And to be absolutely clear, Saracens got relegated because they were over the cap this year.
Well, there you go. if they all take a cut, maybe they won't be.
I'm just saying. That's a lot of money to cut out the salary cap. If it's not a loan, that's all I'm saying.
Wow. Well, here we go. I'll tell you what. So something more positive that we can focus on. Have you seen the videos of the progress that Michael Fatialofa is making?
Fantastic. Yes.
Loved it. Really, really good to see.
I saw the incident, and it was completely innocuous, which is probably the most scary part about it. But yeah, fantastic to see him making progress.
Yeah,
definitely. We need a few more good news stories at the moment. God.
We do. How are you two managing? Like, you know, sticking at home a little bit again. Like, you've both got a permanent reminder of you know, the reality of the alternative with wives that are going out and you know, getting ready. Yeah. You've said it hasn't kicked in yet, but getting ready for what is coming their way. But how, I can imagine, Jay, you must be so fidgety.
Not really. I say not really. I've nearly built myself a patio. I've reloaded the path. I'm improving rapidly on my trumpet. I interviewed Rob Kitson last week to burn up a bit of time as well. That was good fun. A remarkably nice man.
I told you he was a lovely man.
He really is a nice man.
Yeah.
Gotta say.
I mean, you saw. This is going back. This was a. You took umbrage with him over a tweet. I was like, he doesn't mean it like that. He's too nice. He's too nice a bloke. He really is a lovely man. By the way, the Guardian. No, the.
Guardian. Yeah.
Yeah. Guardian, rugby writer.
And a little synergy from our podcast last week to what I was talking to him about. But I asked him, like, what was his first match report? Do you remember? And it was something like London bus drivers against Central District Line drivers. I thought, we were actually talking last week about how much we want representative rugby to come back. And it'd be awesome if there was more things like Manchester Tram Drivers Rugby Club versus, you know, I'm trying to think of it, like Heinz Baked Bean Production Workers.
God, it's not happened for 10 years, but I know the RICS, Royal Institution of Chartered Surveyors, used to do Yorkshire versus Lancashire, or North East versus North West.
I played in that game 5 years ago, Phil.
More than 5 years ago, sure.
No, it must have been maybe more than 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. But we played it, and I'm not, as you may know, it was more than 5 years ago, not 7 years ago. But I'm not a chartered surveyor, but I think I played for Yorkshire.
I've not heard of that for ages. But yeah, they used to do that.
Well, I know the Barrister's Chamber in Manchester, St. John's Chamber, I think, has a rugby team. Or at least they have a rugby tour to Dublin every year. Not necessarily the same thing, is it?
Different, yeah. Yeah, slightly different.
Slightly different. So
you had a Negroni in isolation yet?
Yes, last night. We had a virtual beer. Me, Phil, and a friend of ours.
Yeah, it was quite good fun.
I tell you what I think, right? I think that a social isolation might perversely mean that you are making more time to speak to more people. Let me give you an example. If I have to go to a physical beer with someone, right? So Tim and I went out last Friday.
Mad to think. I remember thinking at the time when you said, should we go for a beer? I remember going, we probably shouldn't. But it'll be okay. We'll be respectful of people around us. And this was only like 10 days ago.
Yeah, I'm glad we did.
And the speed that it's like now that you'd be a pariah.
Well, two weeks ago, I was at Twickenham with 84,000 other people. It's surreal to think that it was just totally normal. It was on people's minds and people were talking about it. And you could see people with alcohol hand gel and that kind of stuff and people not shaking hands. But other than that, it was exactly as normal.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if you're going for a beer with someone, you've got to physically be there. So if you, for whatever reason it is, you've got to look after the kids or you can't come out for whatever reason, you can't physically go for a beer. But last night, we could dip in and out as and when we wanted. You know, if I wanted to, I could get a friend from Edinburgh to phone in who we would otherwise not see for 6 months.
Well, the irony of all this is I now have, because I do my radio show from my loft where I am now, the shipping container, I now have like, you know, a good 4 hours a day that I'm not traveling to and from London freed up, which would be the perfect time when I could actually pop out and do coffee with the boys and
go to CrossFit
and stuff. And I've got all this time and can't do it.
Yeah. Gordon, so, you've built on your garden as well, so you can't even do your garden.
Well, yeah, exactly. Although, geez, I am glad for the extra space indoors at the minute. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to... Also, the memes are just, you know, the memes are off the charts at the minute.
I have not really seen many memes because I've been semi-off Twitter.
I noticed this, JB. What's going on?
I couldn't be doing with anyone's quote-unquote opinion on coronavirus. I decided now is the time to come off Twitter. I don't care about your analysis. I don't care about your opinion or the politics behind it. So I just came off it. I thought I'll come back on in full force when we're all allowed outside again.
I do have to say, people politicising this are...
Scumbags.
Are just the worst.
Do it in 3 weeks' time.
Or well, 3 months' time.
Whatever it is, just not now.
Yeah.
So, I've not really seen many memes, so feel free to enlighten me.
Oh, I'll send you some. I'll ping some your way. What else have we got?
Leicester Tigers.
Oh, yeah, Leicester Tigers are no longer up for sale. They've basically done the equivalent of taking their for sale board down because... They had a couple of people turn up just for a little. No, they had a couple of neighbours come along on the first day it was up for sale just to have a nose around the house but with no intention of buying it. And then the estate agents didn't get any calls.
Yeah, who do you think went around Leicester to see if it was for sale? Like the Wasps management. And then Northampton showed up. Just have a little nosy round.
It's all been mothballed for now.
So. I mean, what's the plan for Leicester Tigers here? They're going to put it back on the market, you know, in about 3 months' time. But brew a fresh pot of coffee. They're
just going to paint the walls magnolia.
Yeah, yeah. Welford Road is going to be very neutral now.
They did say, I'm trying to find the statement here, I can't get it, but they said something like, they couldn't find a buyer who matched their internal processes for the club, and also had the financial clout to do so, which is not surprising in the current climate, because no one will be spending any more money on any investments than is absolutely necessary right now.
Yeah, agreed.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
In a lot of ways, I really feel sorry for Leicester. They have the right idea. They need new ownership in, and they've got one hell of a sporting property there. It is the grandest club in the UK, if not the grandest club in all of Europe. I mean, it is the gem of English rugby, despite the results of late. But again, like everything else we've been talking about, it's all about circumstances. So, yeah, again, feel sorry for him. But when it comes back on the market, providing they can find a benefactor who wants to pay 29 chief executives. Well, is that how many they have now? 5 directors of rugby, 8 head coaches, and then a board of 89, and a rugby committee. So as long as they want to pay all those and keep that internal process, they should be fine.
Well, they managed to stay up last year, and they're going to stay up this year, so who wouldn't want to pay them?
Exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And do you know what? They only probably need one or two more signings at board level, and they can probably climb a few more places.
Right, we've had a question from Lloyd Rimmer on Twitter, who says, right, come on, you've got to answer this question about this current crisis we're in. What would Rob Baxter do? I've been bobbing up on Twitter every now and again, just a little thing, you know, just...
What would Rob Baxter do?
Take a breath. Every now and again, take a breath and just ask yourself, what would Rob Baxter do? How do you think Rob Baxter is, we kind of believe he's sort of the model human being in the rugby world.
You think he is? I've got reservations.
I think he is.
I think he's pretty good.
He's very good, isn't he? But the more you like him, the more I've got to push back on that thing. Just the rules, isn't it?
How is Rob Baxter dealing with this, do you imagine?
My guess is Rob Baxter's staying indoors. I think Rob Baxter is following the advice, the letter of the law, and he's very much doing what Rob Baxter would do, which is controlling his controllables.
Yeah, that sounds sensible.
He's buying a responsible amount of food from the supermarket.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Only what he needs.
Not panicking
whatsoever.
I reckon he's probably offering the meal plans.
And he's definitely offering help, but not being too pushy. Offering help to his elderly and vulnerable neighbours as well.
Yeah. Controlling. He's been consciously competent whilst controlling his controllables, I would say.
I bet you he has spent most of his days on the phone, calling round to all his players, just like little 5-minute check-ins. I bet you he's doing that all the time. How was your home fitness session today? How'd you get on?
I was going to say, yeah. How are you? Yeah, good. Right, let's get down to brass tacks. How many press-ups have you done? How much running on the spot have you done? Because remember, like, can you think of a worse way to treat professional athletes than keeping them at home with a PlayStation, telling them they can't go outside, and just to be safe, lads, only get ordered, only get taken food. These lads must be burning 5,000 calories a day training, and now they're not training at all. We're going to see some awful rigs in 5 weeks' time.
So a load of them have taken home bits of gym kit.
Have they?
Yeah, so loads that, like, people have taken Watt bike homes and Concept 2 rowers. I'm sure a few of the boys have got proper gym setups anyway at home.
Depending on they haven't, mate. I don't know, maybe some of them. I don't think they have. I mean,
Northampton Saints put out a little in a press conference. I don't know who from Northampton Saints is, but they basically said in a press conference, the skinny lads have taken some weights back and the fat lads have taken the cardio equipment.
Yeah, I did see that.
I honestly think we're going to see some lads come back who are in horrific shape.
Well, that's one of the key challenges now. So, like, if you're working as a team, this is almost going to be like a mini pre-season or a much longer pre-season. But if you've got a pre-season, you have a fixed point that you know you're going to be starting playing games. So your training is designed to get your fitness, your strength, and your skills to a point when you can play, including deload weeks and tapering weeks and all the rest of it. Whereas now, we might not see a game. I think best case scenario is we might see some games September behind closed doors.
Yeah. Straight inside.
I think there's a good chance we won't see any games in 2020.
Wow. Yeah. You reckon?
Genuinely.
Oh, yeah, I agree with Phil. Completely. In terms of the players, I'll just give you an example, right? There's a prop that I know at Sale, and he eats 5,000 calories a day. Come what may, that's just what
I'm doing that now. I'm bloody working from home. The snacking temptation is ridiculous.
Isn't it? Do you know, I had a Domino's pizza because obviously they were free to NHS staff on Friday. So I shared half, right? Do you know how many... I Googled calories in a Domino's pizza. Two questions. What do you think the calories are? And question number two, for what portion did they quote the calories?
How big is the pizza?
Well, it was a large pizza, okay? Is it large, mighty, meaty, whatever it is?
Okay, I'm going to guess 300 calories a slice.
Good. Phil? So
I was going to say 600 per quarter, which might be two slices or three slices.
I was going to say 900 per three per third, which is three slices.
So for three slices, it's over 700 calories.
Is that a quarter or is that a...
that's about a quarter, slices? Yeah. Yeah. 700, yeah, for about a quarter of a pizza, 700 calories.
That's a lot. So when it flashed up 700 calories, I thought, oh, that's doable. Maybe serving suggestions, half pizza. No, quarter of a pizza. That's unbelievable.
The serving suggestions for things like that are ridiculous. Like Pringles, it's like... one-fifth of a tube is your serving suggestion. Who's ever had that?
So basically,
their strap line was always, once you pop, you can't stop.
Once you pop, you have a responsible amount and then you put the top right back on.
So effectively, when you buy a pack of Pringles, that's 5 days worth of Pringles there.
I might be slightly wrong, but it's that kind of thing. Maybe a quarter of a tub.
Yeah. I think that's all. Is that all of our rugby news?
Alex Lazowski rumoured to Toulouse. Sione Calamifoni rumoured to go to Scarlets, where he used to work for. Well, when he came over to the UK, he went to Nottingham. Glenn Delaney's about to be head coach of the Scarlets. So, yeah. But Lazowski to Toulouse rather than Bath.
Like it. Lazowski, right, is a player of immense quality. But for whatever reason it is, whether just because he doesn't quite know where he's going to play or... You know, that 13 channel is just too congested. He's not got a realistic shot of being an English regular. Maybe he does if everything falls his way and he has a great game. He's definitely got the talent to do it, but just as things are, he's not in the picture.
And if you could go and play in front of that crowd for a year, play with those players for a year.
I mean, he just would suit that so well. I mean, if you think about it, they had Toby Flood, who went there for a number of years. He went as a 10 and ended up playing all sorts of positions, including 13. Well, Lazowski will show up as a 13, but can also play 10, can play across the back line. He's a great signing for them. I think that is a very, very nice piece of business if they can get it done.
Yeah, and it'll be good. It'll be a great fit for Toulouse because Lazowski will fit really well into that setup. But for Lazowski to go and experience something else and add something to his game, he will learn in that environment.
Yeah, and even more for me, just get the money. Just get the money.
Yeah.
Because how old is he now? He must be over 23. Over 23, I'd guess.
He's 26.
Is he that old? I remember him.
Hang on. 27 in the summer.
When was he 19? I remember him being 19.
Well, so he...
We've not done this podcast for that long.
He came after uni. So he started... He went to Leeds University and then started playing for Wasps after university.
No!
Yeah.
I thought he was much younger than that. Oh, we'll definitely go to France. It's done. It's over.
I agree. It's not going to... The England 13 spot is not going to get any less congested when Marchant comes back from New Zealand as well.
So, now, that's a small
move. Presumably, he's already back now.
Yeah, I guess he is.
Now, that is an even smarter move, right? Because... I think Tim might have been speaking about Marchant as an English centre at some point. But I certainly wasn't.
Years ago, back in 2016, thank you very much.
But I certainly wasn't. I mean, if he'd stayed at Harlequins, nothing that I've seen about him previously makes me think he was nailed. Certainly no more than Lazowski. But having a little bit of time in New Zealand does wonders for your CV. Ask Piers Francis.
Yeah. And Simmons, the second row, who was...
Yeah.
He captained the Chiefs a couple of times out there, and then everyone was calling him to be starting for England.
And exactly.
He got back to the UK and everyone realised he probably shouldn't be starting for England.
Probably not quite English. Very good player, though. Very good player, but maybe not quite Englandish.
Yeah, not even close, in my humble opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, so big fan of that one.
I'm going to... Toby Symington has got in touch.
And yes,
I'm going to do this. Now, obviously, I'm just going to reiterate once again before I do this. JB and Phil both have wives who are anaesthetists and will be treating people who come into hospital affected with COVID-19. My sister works in an intensive care unit at Guy's St. Thomas's Hospital as well. So no one is being flippant about how serious the thing is. Toby Symington...
Oh, I can't wait for what you've got up your sleeve now.
Toby Symington has come up with a team which he's called the Wuhan Pangolins 15.
Oh, no.
How long until the Wuhan Pangolins are a genuine sevens team in Brighton?
The Wuhan Pangolins 15 comprises... Janny Flu Plessy.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
I hate 15 so much.
I know you do. That's why I thought
this is so painful. Go
I
on.
I quite liked it.
This is more painful than actually contracting the virus.
from Dark Harlequin on Twitter, his suggestion for a loose head was also Mako Vun Ebola.
Oh, that's quite good.
Nice. That's good.
Back to Toby Symington's hooker, Luke Cowan Sicky.
Okay. Okay,
you could have had Bismask Flu Plessy.
Bismask is good.
Nicola Mass Gathering.
Oh, God.
In the second row, Sam White Lockdown and Ian Coff.
Nice.
Sam White's Lockdown. I can see that just being quite a good nickname anyway.
The Lockdown.
Maybe more for an open side flanker. Tackling, someone who's really good at dispatching tens and locking them down.
That's a good shout. Speaking of back rows, Todd Fever instead of Todd Clever.
Clever.
This one's a bit tenuous as well. James Maskell.
Oh, God.
Oh, by the way, did you see Hask? Hask was doing a DJ set on Instagram.
Was he?
Back row beats. Yeah, for people to have a Saturday night party in their living room.
Why didn't I know about this? That would have been perfect for yesterday.
Perfect background for our little online booze.
Yeah.
Facundo, number eight, Facundo Isolation. I think you'll like the halfbacks.
Okay. I hope so, Tim. He's very outstanding.
Scrum half. Vaccine Machino.
Nice.
Oh dear. Is Vaccine Machino a pox kicker?
Fly half. Wuhan Pinar.
Well, that's very good. Well done. You can have that one.
The left wing is Corona Lomu.
Yeah, oh, good.
Nice.
The 12, JJ Wash Your Handrahans.
That's quite good, actually.
That's okay.
That's okay. I can see that one.
Playing out of position, the 13, Jacob Stockpile. The right wing, James Simpton Daniel.
Nice.
Decent.
Fullback, Tom Working From Homer.
Like that. I like that one.
And the coach, Brendan Ventilator.
Nice.
Excellent. Nice.
Dr. Ventilator, yeah.
Thank you, Toby, for taking the trouble. You can email us, by the way, contacteggchasers@gmail.com. Lots of people have for the rugby game we're reviewing this weekend, which we will get onto. Any other business?
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, that's about everything for now.
Yeah, until we actually have some news about when the club's going back in and whatnot, this will be it. This will be us. I mean, if you have some news, we'll certainly talk about it, but that's it.
Are there things still being constructed, Phil, for you to oversee?
Yes, but I'm not sure for how much longer. It's in very interesting, very nerve-wracking time, actually, for the construction industry. 'Cause
I can imagine.
I was talking to JB about this the other day, but historically, construction is last into recession and last out because projects take so long to get up and running and so long when they're up and running. So like in 2008, construction was fine until about 2010, but then didn't really pick up until about 2014. Whereas now, there's a lot of things which are just being stopped immediately. And so we'll be first into recession, or same as everyone else into recession, but could take a long time to come out of it. So it's a bit nerve-wracking for the old construction.
It's kind of similar. So these things come in waves for lots of different reasons. I was having a chat about this the other day because I remember from 2008 the effect it had on radio.
Yeah.
And like for example, so basically, lots of companies will come out of this and will say, "Oh, we need to pull back on our advertising spend. That's one place we can, or marketing money. That's one place we can save a bit of cash." And then, of course, that means people advertise less on TV and radio, which means radio stations and TV networks have to sort of say, "Oh, we need to cut our cloth a little bit." So I'm imagining if it affects me, it'll be several months after this happens. But it just the ramifications are all over the shop.
Yeah, when the new budgets come out.
Yeah,
it'll be very interesting because at the moment I'm actually on gardening leave, so I'm quite fortunate. It'll be very interesting to see where the investment landscape is after this. How much damage there's been to public perception of investments, pensions and whatnot. Because, I mean, you know, luckily, I've not had to deal with any of it because, well, I'm not working with my old clients. I will be again very, very shortly. But, there must be a lot of people out there who've lost a lot of money at particularly sensitive times for them.
If I was approaching retirement, I would be, like, crying and putting back my retirement by several years based on...
I think that's basically what a lot of people will have to do.
Yeah.
No two ways about it. A lot of people will. So, yeah, very, very difficult times for them. But as I say, I'm on gardening leave, so I've kind of missed all of that carnage.
Yeah.
I am going to ask this one question, bearing in mind what I talked about with advertising money and various things. I think you'll understand why I can't comment on it, but I didn't want to be seen to be dodging a question because it's quite an interesting talking point, I think. So I think we can have an objective chat about it. But I'm trying to find the tweet here, but we've had some people... Oh, there you go. Chez come on Twitter, tweeted to @rugbypodcast and said, should people like Sky Sports and BT Sport suspend subscription, given now it's mostly showing repeats?
Yeah. Go on, Phil.
I think yes. It feels like yes, but I've not thought through the consequences of it.
I think it's probably a little bit more complicated than that.
Yeah.
So the subscription, you feel as a consumer that you are number one, because we've been told as consumers we are number one, and you in a normal functioning economy, you probably are. But you're not the only factor in Sky Sports decisions here. So, for instance, Sky Sports or BT Sport will be paying out vast sums of money, and that vast amount of money will be going to, say, the Premiership or the Premier League or whatever the league is that they choose. But in the same way that they've turned off their funding for the leagues, which I'm sure they have, it wouldn't surprise me one bit if all of the betting companies, all of the sponsors, all the people that fund the broadcasters themselves have also turned off their advertising spend. And I think that can be done almost immediately.
Yeah. But it seems like it's a chain, isn't it? So, like...
Yeah.
And if the clubs are getting no revenue because the TV companies are getting no revenue because the betting companies and the companies who advertise on there are giving them no revenue, then surely the break in the chain needs to also be passed on to the consumer. So there's just none of those revenues are flowing and everyone consolidates their cash position right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Otherwise you're asking lots of individuals to prop up the cash flow for the corporation.
I don't know, because I also think that the people who are left holding the baby, so to speak, are the people who have got contractual obligations. Now, if your contractual obligation is you're in for 12 months, you're in for 12 months whether they're showing sport or not, in the same way that if a rugby club has to pay a player for 5 years, they're paying a player for five years. Now they can agree to reduce that as we've spoken about before. But I just think everyone will be acting in accordance to whatever their contracts say at that time, which is tough for the consumer. But actually, that's just how it is, because all of the gambling firms, I guess, have pulled their advertising spend immediately. They can't be expected to spend money on games which don't exist.
Yeah, but yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, and anyone who has got a contract that's out of the initial 12 months probably should do the same.
And do you know what I would say on that as well, which is rather than cancelling subscriptions, because in fact, from a business point of view, I'd never want to do that. What I want to do that is, as last minute as I possibly could. They could keep the subscriptions, but just put the Sky channels free to air and show repeats. And the reason I do that is just say, here's something to keep you entertained whilst you're in lockdown. Yeah, it's completely meaningless because you've got no real property on there, but you might build up a little bit of goodwill.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, but potentially, I think like there are some things that I'm paying for now that I'm not getting the service I'm paying for, but I'm more than happy to continue. For example, which are voluntary, by the way, like, for example, and I'd encourage anyone who can, and I'm sure a lot of people are doing this at TOC H, but I'm keeping my subs going to the rugby club that my son would play rugby at.
That's a fantastic point. I need to cancel my subs ASAP. until I'm guaranteed a game.
and more than that, I actually just almost symbolically, because there was no way of just chucking 20 quid or 50 quid or whatever, there's no way of just handing that money over. Maybe some rugby clubs will get to the point where they actually have some sort of charity drives or fundraising, where they're actually saying, we're a bit hard up here, but I know the situation that my local rugby club is in. So I just went onto the club shop and bought a couple of things for my son as well. So there are lots of people doing lots of things over and above. If you feel like you want to, I guess my point is, if you feel like you want to,
how about your club in some way?
Take out your money from one place. If you can put it towards the rugby club, I know that'll be a really valuable and very much, much needed place to put it.
Yeah.
So now that you can't give them your custom for a beer.
Yeah, do you know what the really difficult thing is with all this? Is the natural human inclination to want to help someone usually involves going around and actually physically doing something, which is exactly what you can't do in this situation, which is why everyone feels so awfully helpless.
Yeah.
That's a worst. That is the worst part. You know, there's nothing I'd rather be doing than helping my, you know, my restaurant owning friend or my bar owning friend by going for a drink there. But that's literally the only thing I can't do.
Yeah.
Well, so, I mean, but at least the celebrities are helping by doing their version of John Legend, John Lennon's Imagine.
We had a WhatsApp group about this, about exactly how annoying it was, yet how inspiring it was.
friend of the pod and an all-round good bloke, Nick Heath, has absolutely smashed it out of the park, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Now, I was wondering about this. Has he got stock footage of people doing stuff, or has he done the commentary live? I should really give him a text and find out.
I'm pretty sure that the audio quality is too good to have done it live. He's gone out and videoed it himself on his phone, taken it home, and added the audio over the top. I think so, because then there's no rights issues over the video and all the rest of it. You're just...
Yeah, maybe. So I wasn't sure if he just went on YouTube and said people at market, and then... It doesn't really matter how he's done it. They're bloody brilliant. But I was just wondering, like, if I was bored at home, maybe I'd do that.
But I've even had mates of mine not in rugby pinging it to me on WhatsApp groups, have you seen this?
It is very, very good.
So fair play. So there are, as with all these situations, there are opportunities.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, as someone who is sort of self-employed and, you know, always has to have the spectre of not having a job over the hill. That's one thing you get wired to do, is just spot the opportunities that are around. And there are a few. Watch this space.
Indeed. Interesting.
But on that, actually, let's take a break and do our second podcast, which is all about a particular game which we asked you to watch as homework.
What a game.
My favourite game of all time.
It was immense. I had so much fun watching it. But guys, this worked out all right, I think. Touch wood, we haven't heard the audio the other side of it yet. But obviously, we appreciate your patience with us audio quality-wise. And we hope you're all safe and well, looking after each other, looking after yourselves. But hit subscribe at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. We'll keep these coming. We'll do as many as we can. We might even be able to do more shorter ones. Or if you've got any ideas for things you want us to do, let us know. We're contact eggchasers@gmail.com, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. He's at Jay Beardmore. I'm at Cocker. Phil's lurking. He'll let you know. Actually, Phil, how many workouts have you done in your home gym? I'm so envious of that now.
A few this week. Three or four. I have been out for a couple of runs as well. Not doing too badly.
I've got a rowing machine, which has come in handy. It has just been a clothes horse for the last couple of years, but it's actually...
I'd love a rowing machine in the gym, actually, downstairs. That'd be good.
Might buy myself a kettlebell.
Just one. One
size. Yeah, I just need you can do a remarkable amount of things with one 24kg kettlebell.
Nice, good size.
That is what you need to get back on Twitter doing, JB. Do your workouts.
JB doing workouts.
Yeah.
On your new patio.
On my new patio at 11 o'clock, Diet Coke break. Diet Coke break with JB.
What are the rules on getting people in to do work? Because I need a pull-up bar put up on the outside.
Have you seen my pull-up?
I'm envious of that as well. I want a pull-up bar. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to focus on like doing a bit of calisthenic type stuff in the back garden.
I guess the answer to your question is that you've got to pay them a mighty big risk premium, because people are paying money to do things. Yeah. Like there was all those idiots, isn't there? Have you seen all the idiots today going to the Lake District?
And Snowdon and
Snowdonia, the busiest weekend they've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, can I just say, if you want to go to Snowdon, North Wales, where I live, and put all my family at risk and all the rest of it, please do, but do it in my holiday flat. I've got a really nice holiday flat, which I could really do with letting out. So that's North Wales Holiday Cottages. If you just have a look on there, you'll find my flat at Holford. If you're going to put the family at risk, please do it in my flat.
Well, there you go. Get JB back on Twitter. If you want to find him at Jay Beardmore on Twitter, if you want to let out his cottage, you want a bit of isolation in a beautiful park.
Right, it's right on the coast. Right on the coast. Literally by the Gamway train station. Couldn't be nicer. You can see the castle from the windows.
Genuinely, if there was like a zombie outbreak type thing, that's where you'd be heading, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Spot. Yeah, it's ideal. I can fish for my tea. I can do the lot there. Play golf if the golf courses are open. Walk on the beach 2 meters apart from anyone else. It couldn't be better for you and your isolation needs.
Right. On that, we'll leave it, and we'll see you on the next pod.
Bye bye.
Bye guys.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.